Hello, and welcome to Artistas in the Capital. My name is Norma Sorto, and I'm your host for Orla Cultura's monthly podcast, featuring interviews with Latinx artists in the Washington area. As a woman, we are often told to be careful, and we know why. Women experience violence at an alarming rate. According to the World Health Organization, nearly 1 in 3 women worldwide have been exposed to physical or sexual violence. In some cases, both. In the worst-case scenario, women experience femicide, defined as an intentional killing with a gender-related motivation. In 2021, more than 4,000 women in Latin America and the Caribbean were victims of this specific crime. Our guest for this episode, DC-based artist Marta Perez Garcia, who hails from Puerto Rico, grew up hearing stories of violence against women. Instead of questioning the victims, she decided to give women a voice through her art. By creating art that voices these rarely spoken topics, she says she's merely fulfilling her responsibility as a human being. Here is our interview with Marta, conducted by Spell participants Cristela Bonilla, Flavia Oliveira, Jubilee Lucero, and Claudia Peralta Torres back in March of 2023.
I'm Marta. I'm from Puerto Rico. I always have to say that because I'm super proud to be Puerto Rican. I've been in DC for many years, I think more than 15 years. I'm an artist, and I hate to see an artist because I think the name is like too big. So I love to do art, let's put it that way, because I always, you know, I have so many things that I wanted to share and to kind of like reflect myself. And I'm an art teacher of kids 3 to 10 years old, which I really love it. So this is me. Thank you so much for inviting me. I love it.
Where do you find your inspiration?
Looking around me as a Latina woman, as a Puerto Rican, I don't even know if I call it inspiration. Like when I was really young, I remember the story of this woman that got killed by her partner. And I remember like people talking about, you know, like, oh, but you never know. And they were questioning themselves. And I was always saying, why do they question themselves? I mean, they just murder a woman and they're asking why. And I think since that day, more than inspiration, I knew I had to be involved and I knew I had to say something about it. So I think that's how I started to be kind of involved in, you know, in what I do right now.
What motivates you to create art?
My motivation is the urge to tell stories. As an artist, I'm not good at writing, but I'm good at making images. To give a space to other people to tell their stories, I think it's super important. And I think I've been working with gender violence for a long time. And at one point, I knew that I couldn't just keep doing just the art itself, but I had to go to the community and give a voice to these women and hear their stories and give them the strength to be present. I mean, I understood that the stories of these women that are not with us anymore, it's important to give a presence, but it's important to tell who they were. Not just, you know, Maria Gonzalez that was killed in Arecibo, but Maria Gonzalez, the teacher, the mom, the woman that was part of a community. Because I think it's important to give the importance of the stories of these women. And I think in my art, that's what I'm trying to do, just to share stories of voices that either had been silenced or voices that still here that needs a power to just say enough is enough. As a Puerto Rican, as a Caribbean, the femicide in Puerto Rico, the numbers are just striking. I mean, just last year was 70 women that got killed. And I think like since Hurricane Maria, the numbers have been just doubling. I'm passionate about it because people have to reflect. So I think it's important to give voices to these women, but I think it's important for the viewers and for the people to understand the urge of doing something. And what are we doing about this? So I think that's the thing that I really are working right now. That is really very important for me.
I really like how you mentioned how giving other people voices that were silenced is something that you like to do. And I feel like that's very important, especially through art. My next question for you is, how long does it take to finish a project?
I don't have a time. I never give myself a time. I just work and I talk to people and I do workshops sometimes and I stop and I look and I think I don't have a time. You know, it can be 2 months. I did an installation against gender violence that was called I'm Gonna Get You, Women, Body, and Rupture. And I was a year working on it, talking to women. I was a year doing workshops, listening to women. They were creating this body. I mean, I didn't want to call them dolls because it was this figure that they were going to sew, because they were going to kind of like present themselves. These figures were themselves. And what happened was beautiful. So I never have time, you know, in my work. I just do it and I put all my heart and I finish when I finish. I don't have a time.
How do you think your skills have changed over time?
I think for me, I have grown as a person. I think listening to stories have made me find myself, because I think some of these stories are related to me too. I think we all have a story of, you know, different kinds of violence. And I think for me, they have empowered me to feel that I'm not alone, that I can share my story and that we can find a community within ourselves. I love to do new things. Like I did printmaking for many years and I do woodcuts. I did woodcuts many times because woodcuts, I mean, you do reduction process. I have never done like a whole drawing of what I'm going to do because I think it would really, you know, completely bore me to death. So I do like a drawing in the wood and I cut and I print and I cut. And sometimes I can be 2 to 3 months doing a print. And then I found that I had to get to the community. So I thought, you know, with these stories, I have to present myself in a way that really represent these women. And I started to do handmade paper. And with that, I started to do torsos that are, you know, life size. I mean, I always say that the day that you think that you know everything, then you're dead. So I look for new materials. I look for new things and objects around me that has to do with the stories of these women. So I'm always in a búsqueda. I'm always in a look for things that help me to really represent the importance and the respects that these women deserve in different medias. And what paper has always been with me. I love paper. I think paper is a beautiful, natural, and it's strong. I mean, it's not as fragile as it seems. So I think paper has always been with me and I always look for different things. But I think I have grown more as a person, and that growth of listening to stories and really try to give voices to these women have really been the importance of my art, really.
Do you have a significant artist or artistic influence?
When I was really young, I love art from Haiti. I love the storytelling of the artists from Haiti. I love the forms and the colors. And sometimes even if the themes are very brutal, it has a beauty to the form. It has a beauty to the color. And I think that was the art that completely like jumped on me. I love Pepon Osorio. He's a Puerto Rican artist that does installation that really gets into the community. I met him a long time ago in Philadelphia. I was in my master's and it really kind of blew my mind, you know, the work and the interaction with the community and the political and social things that he really portrayed for people to reflect. Oh my God, I have so many, but those are some of the ones. I mean, Mirna Baez, a Puerto Rican artist that when I was really young in Puerto Rico, I met her almost trembling, really took my hand. And I consider her like my second mom. I mean, she's not with us anymore, but she was a powerful woman that really helped me as an artist to grow. And many others.
How do you define success as an artist?
The other day, somebody asked me something about an artist, and I never even call myself an artist. And what is success? I don't know, and I don't care. I think we have a responsibility, not just as an artist, as women, as Latinas, as Caribbeans, as human beings, we have a responsibility. So what is success, you know? I mean, I don't know, to go to these parties with people that buy you work that you don't even know where it's going. I don't care. I just do what I love and I feel responsible to do what I do. And I think that's important enough for me.
I know you said that for you, success is not necessarily what would be the stereotypical definition of success. So I was wondering if you always believed that way, or if you didn't, what made you believe that way? Or if that's the culture in Puerto Rico, how are you able to not succumb to the thinking that I think is pretty common here in the US?
I think I've always been like this. I think success, and looking at my son right now that is 17, the pressure that they put in people about success, about what university you have to go, but it's ridiculous. Because if you look back at how the world is going right now, it's just going crazy. And I think success has to do what I'm doing to give a tiny granito de arena to make this life better for people that maybe I have a strength here and there and I can help, and I can help myself too. I mean, success is such a weird word, I think, that for me, I mean, to be in a museum, really it's not important. I might seem like, but it's not. I think it's important what I do in my community, what I can bring to help in some ways this madness of planet that is just eating us apart.
What has been your favorite piece that you have done?
I did an installation in 2018 in DC that was called I'm Gonna Get You, Body, Women, Rupture, and it was about gender violence. And I think for the first time, I kind of like went out of my prints and I went to the community and I talked to around 170 people, mostly in organizations that deal with gender violence. I work with a lot of women from different countries in Latin America, and it was amazing. I mean, these stories and these women changed my life. The strengths of these women, the power of the understanding, like a lot of these women not just cross that border because the violence that happened in Honduras, El Salvador, Dominican Republic. I mean, when you cross that border, you come to this country to supposedly find the freedom of that violence. And what happened in here is even worse. And the endurance of these women, the power to really keep fighting, and the organization that really took them in their wings and really helped them to go out and to work, to like see these women representing themselves in these bodies. And I think it was amazing, like when I was doing these workshops, and I did it for a year, to listen to these women talk about their life. But you understand the power of art. I mean, they're sewing these bodies that were going to represent them. And some of these women were telling, you know, it's the first time that I share my story with someone. For me, that was so powerful. And to do an installation that people can walk around and really think about what we're doing, you know, because you had a floor that was 30 by 24 that had all these bodies, you know, like the bodies that the police put when somebody get murdered. So people understood the number of femicides. And then I put objects like teeth and eyes in the middle and bullet shells for people to understand, I mean, what happened when you have a gun? We have to change the gun laws. And the teeth, because a lot of these women, I was like reading and I was like doing my story. And it's like so many women that disappear, but we know why they disappear. So sometimes when we find their bodies, we cannot recognize it. So we recognize it by the teeth. So I think this installation completely changed my life. And since then, I knew I have to work directly with the community. And that's when Restos and Traces, which she was like, I did torso, I did like 30 something torsos. You know, representing the women, because I understood in the pandemic what's going to happen to these women. So I say, you know, I have some organization that I kept because I brought this work to Puerto Rico. And they say, what do you think is going to happen, Marta? It's going to double the murder of women. So then I did a print that was 11 by 4 feet. And I say, okay, the first year of the pandemic, I'm going to write all the names of the women that get murdered in Puerto Rico, because the names are important. These women have a name, they have a life. So for a year, I did like a really, you know, intricate drawing. And then I was writing, and every week was 2 to 3 women that got murdered. So these are words that have completely changed my life, that have completely like put myself up to like really understand the urgency of talking about femicide, of talking about gender violence, of doing something about it. So I think, yeah, these, the print, the torsos died, because then I had the urgent to represent these women that were not here. And I call them nameless, not because they were not important to name them, but because I wanted people to see themselves and to understand. I mean, we all have been through some violence and we need to regroup and talk about it. It's important, these stories. It's important, you know, to really be part of a change. I mean, being an artist is a difficult job, you know, because economically you're always like going crazy, but then that's not important because you have to do what you have to do. So I have to talk with my heart. That's all.
I'm curious to know what have been some reactions that you have seen from gender violence survivors when seeing your work.
Wow, it's been amazing. When I work in here doing the installation in DC and mostly with migrant women, and then I did it in Puerto Rico, and I was in Puerto Rico like 3 months working like crazy. And it was beautiful. I mean, I think for the women that have been through violence to find the space to share their stories. Like, I remember these women that told me, you know, it's such a different to talk in a group and be sitting down and everybody's looking at you. So you feel all the eyes on you. And you're just talking about, you know, what you've been through, your violent story, than to do art, to understand that this object, in a way, it comes to life. And it was beautiful to hear that, how they thought that this doll, this simple doll that is a creation of who I am, can really come to life. And they say sewing together, as a community gave us the space to feel safe to talk. And that was beautiful. And I remember one of the, because I work with different groups, and one of the works that I work with trans women. And I remember these young trans women that did the doll, and that doll I have in my heart, because it's the only doll that I have. And I have right now like 230 dolls that doesn't have a face, that the face is like another pantyhose, because I did it with pantyhose for many reasons, because pantyhose breaks like the skin and then you have to sew it. So it's kind of like sewing your wounds. And she didn't put a face. And I understood that in this object, you say, I'm invisible to people. So it's amazing what art can do. I think it was great for them to take this object and put it alive. That was beautiful.
Obviously, the work that you do, you're very passionate about it. And I could see that a lot of the times it's dealing with stuff that is very like personal or very graphic, the things you're reading. And I'm guessing that at times it can really take a toll on your mental health if it ever does. So what are some things that you do to really take care of yourself, or like some things that keep you in a place of peace from like such graphic materials that you're reading or stuff like that?
Art, art, art. Even if I'm doing these really tough themes, I'm so committed and I think it's such an urgent to do it that if I would not have to work in a school with so many kids, because I see like 400 kids a week, I would just do art. I have a friend, Mirna Weiss, the woman that I said before, the artist, that she said the only thing that is going to save you is to do art. So I do other things. I drink wine once in a while. But art, I love. I think even if it's really, and sometimes, yeah, I mean, I'm like fighting because you're putting everything there. I mean, you're talking about all these really strong things, but then working with the material at the same time is really interesting because you have to bring these themes in a really, and it's going to sound weird, but you have to bring some beauty to it. You cannot put things too crude, too out there. You have to bring a beauty to it so people can enter the thing. So I think for me, how I relax myself is trying to see the materials and try to see what beauty I can bring to reflect about things that are so strong and so crude sometimes. Art, that's what I do.
Thank you, Marta, for your interview with Hola Cultura. Join us next month when we speak with educator and poet Samuel Miranda.
For updates on episodes and Latinx events in the DC area, follow us on Instagram at HolaCulturaDC. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to Artistas in the Capital to get involved in Latinx arts, culture, and humanities in DC. Sign up to join our SPEL program and visit HolaCultura.com.